As we approach the 30th anniversary of my first For the Birds radio program on May 12th, my daughter, who was 2 years old when the show began, set up an online database so I can archive as many of my old radio programs as possible. So far, I've archived more than 10 years of the most recent programs onto the database. That's 1,124 individual programs. All the archived programs are available at www.lauraerickson.com. When I started For the Birds, Wisdom the Laysan Albatross was at least 35 years old, but no one was singling her out from the many albatrosses on Midway Island. Her Fish and Wildlife Service leg band had already been replaced a couple of times, but no one followed the paper trail to realize she'd been banded originally as an adult in 1955. In 2011, Chandler Robbins, who originally banded her, traced back her band numbers and realized she was at least 60. That's when she first made national news and I first did a program about her. Going through the programs one by one has been both fun and disconcerting. Some programs were timely, about upcoming birding events, current migration conditions, news items, and other such things. Some are woefully out of date, like my recommendation for National Geographic's Handheld Birds program for palm pilots. Since starting the program in 1986, a lot of bird names changed. What were rock doves then are now officially rock pigeons. 3 years before For the Birds started, the AOU changed the common gallinule's name to the common moorhen. It went back to common gallinule in 2011. I grew up with Baltimore Orioles, but they were lumped into Northern Orioles the same year that the gallinule got switched to a moorhen. I interviewed the ornithologist from the AOU whose PhD research was responsible for lumping the Baltimore and Bullock's Orioles into the Northern Oriole in the first place. He was on the AOU committee that made the later decision to split them again based on DNA. Some of what we thought was basic bird information has changed as research methods have evolved, particularly in tracking birds to learn more about migratory routes. We've also learned about more and more species that may mate for life or for a season, but display a lot of soap opera-like outside relationships. The only species I know that has been thoroughly tested genetically and established that there was no fooling around of either the male or the female is the Florida scrub jay. I found out about that when I was working at the Cornell Lab of Ornithology in 2008. I've maintained all along that as a group, birds are easily as intelligent as mammals. More and more scientific studies are affirming that. My warnings regarding lawn pesticides and climate change, my concerns about the protections we need for public lands, and my pleas for water and energy conservation have stood the test of time. My predictions about bird flu and West Nile virus, that they weren't dire emergencies but straightforward problems, has also proven correct, though I'm not sure we've done nearly enough to improve conditions at the overcrowded poultry farms where bird flu originated. With regard to blastomycosis, salmonella, and botulism, I'm glad that I spent so much time from the beginning emphasizing how important it is to keep feeders clean and the ground beneath them raked up, especially during winter and early spring thaws. I take a lot of pride in accuracy, but in reviewing these old programs, I've found some mistakes. I'm compiling a list and will soon have a program to set some of those straight. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.